I'll call in case number A210885 in the matter of the application of East River Electric Cooperative for a conditional use permit.
Thank you to both council for appearing today on our Zoom platform. Hopefully we're going to be having some live hearings in the very near future. The rules of appellate procedure remain in place despite the fact we are proceeding by Zoom, except, of course, you don't have to stand because we can't tell if you're standing or not. Anyway, I want to remind you, you each have 15 minutes for presentation of your case, and an additional 5 minutes is reserved to appellate counsel if you choose to exercise that. There is a timer in my upper left-hand corner. There should be the timer available to you also. If you have a technical issue, raise your arm or gesture or do something so that I can stop the timer and find out what the problem is. I also want to remind you to please state your name and indicate which party you're speaking on behalf of before you begin your presentation for recording purposes. And with that said, we'll go ahead with you, Mr. Gronke.
Yes, Your Honor. Thank you. Barry R. Gronke Jr. for the appellant. Which would be Scott Josephson and the realtor. Today's hearing is regarding a very simple matter in regards to the East River application for conditional use permit. The Lyon County commissioners met and discussed openly with constituents about the conditional use permit. At the end of that hearing/meeting, the commissioners made motion to accept the application for the conditional use permit. That motion was seconded, some discussion ensued, and then a vote was taken and it passed 3-2. Unfortunately, the county failed to provide any factual data or findings of fact as to why they arrived at their decision. Now, my colleague will argue that this failure is not material because they've imputed the findings of the Planning and Zoning Commission into this motion. Unfortunately, this argument does fail because the requirement here is that there be some findings of fact either in the record or reduced to writing, which neither have been provided.
And what's your best case saying that? Because I've read a bunch of cases and they seem to say, well, if you can figure it out from the record, that you don't have to. I mean, we have to be able to know why they decided what they decided. That's clear. But what do you think is the strongest case supporting your position?
Sure. Strongest case supporting our position, Your Honors, is the case of White Bear Rod and Gun Club versus City of Hugo. In that case, there was a denial, slightly different than the approval, of a conditional use permit. And in there, the commission failed to provide any factual data as to the denial. Now, this case is fairly similar because there's no factual data that's been imputed. In fact, the argument here is that the imputation of data and imputation of finding of facts occurs during the discussion period of the motion. Now, Robert's Rules of Order would require that to add those documents or to add that finding of facts into the record and into the motion. An amended motion would have to be brought.
Mr. Gronke?
Yes.
To what extent does the different procedural setting in the White Bear Lake, the White Bear Gun Club case, in this case, bear upon our standard of review, one being a denial and one being a grant of a CUP?
So the difference between a denial and a grant is a denial requires more explicit findings of fact by the county to inform the applicant why they're being denied. A denial can take the imputed finding of facts from the Planning and Zoning Commission if they bring it into the record and if it's part of the motion. In some cases, we've seen counties or commissions utilize a
my question goes to the standard of review. You've cited the White Bear Gun Club as support for your proposition as to the responding to Judge Siegel's question about the need for findings. And you are acknowledging now, I believe, that there's a different standard of review when we're considering whether there are adequate findings in a denial versus a grant of a conditional use permit. So I just want to get a sense of your instruction to us about the legal standard that we ought to apply and how it bears upon your argument that White Bear Gun Club case applies.
Sure. So my understanding of the legal standard of review is that there's a slightly elevated standard when challenging, or correction, there's a slightly elevated standard to be applied to counties when they deny a permit versus when they approve a permit. That meaning that this county or the commission must present explicit reasons for the denial, wherein a approval, they can rely on the Planning and Zoning Commission or the lower body to provide them the findings of fact and conclusions of law that they may adopt those. Here, it's slightly different in the fact that there was no adoption of those findings or legal conclusions. Does that answer your question, Judge?
I guess that's up to you. Whether I think you've certainly addressed the issue. You've addressed the question. What I don't yet understand is what you would say is the rule of law. How would we describe the difference in the rule of law as it applies here to the challenge that you're making for the lack of findings? So you've certainly answered the question. I'm not sure I would be able to rewrite your statement of what our rule of law is.
Understood. In addition to failing to provide any kind of factual basis for their decision, the county goes on to argue that the imputation of data and the imputation of the findings of fact from the lower body should be imputed into the findings of fact from the county. Unfortunately,
fact's okay, though, right? You're not contesting that. I mean, that's Benton Township.
I'm sorry, Your Honor, I didn't hear the first part of your question. Could you restate it?
Yeah, sure, of course. And I just kind of broke in there, but you're not contesting that they can say, and we adopt the findings of the Planning Commission, correct?
Correct, Your Honor.
That can serve as the findings of the county board commissioners to support their vote for the CUP.
Yes, Your Honor. So my position is that the county can adopt those findings of fact, but they must do so in the motion so that the county commissioners, when they're voting, are voting to accept those findings of fact. They cannot adopt those findings of fact through the comment section and discussion section of the motion without amending the motion before the vote. Otherwise, the county commissioners are simply voting on the motion that was brought before them. They're not voting on the discussion period and what was brought forward in the motion. In a perfect world, what would have occurred here is the county would have taken a pause after hearing the discussions, amended the motion, and brought forward a new motion for the commissioners to vote on. Here, the commissioners didn't vote on accepting any of finding of fact. They didn't vote on adopting the findings of fact of the Planning Commission. It wasn't imputed in any statements made. It was only brought forward at the very end of the meeting after the motion was made, when there was slight discussion about how good of a job the Planning and Zoning Commission made. I think Your Honors would agree that they'd come into circumstances where they agree that attorneys have presented a good job and done a good effort, but they disagree with what the position of the attorney is. That could be no different here, but it wasn't brought before the commissioners to vote. They simply voted on approval or denial of the conditional use permit without making any findings of fact.
Mr. Pike, what are you proposing, that we send it back and have them then audibly on the record indicate what their position is? What is it that you think should happen as a result?
I think what should happen is either one of two things, Your Honor, either the conditional use permit be denied or it be sent back to be properly put before the county commissioners and voted appropriately, and the motion be made appropriately and the county make findings of fact or adopt these findings of fact of the Planning and Zoning Commission. I think that would be appropriate because then the commissioners would be voting.
What is the authority that you have for the first alternative? You're challenging the procedural issue. What would be the case law that you would point to that would say that the remedy would be simply a denial, that we would order a remand for the entry of a denial?
Your Honor, I do not have any case law to point to that would be the remedy.
That's
my second alternative.
What rationale would you have to support that assertion?
The rationale I would have would be that the county commissioners voted on approval or denial without it making a finding of fact. And without a finding of fact, they really have nothing to support their decision. And they didn't vote knowingly about what the decision was.
I understand the reason you're saying that there was an error. My question is, what is the rationale that would support the remedy of a remand with specific instructions to deny the CUP?
So the rationale would be that with the remand and specific directions, the county would then obviously be able to deny this. And then it could be the East River Electric Cooperative could then reapply at any time. Or alternatively, they could put this up for a new vote based on the same application.
Go ahead, Judge Ross.
I'm not sure you've answered my question. At least I don't understand it. If you have, what is that? You've said there's no case law supporting your requested alternative remedy of a remand with instructions to deny. Now my question is, what is the rationale? What would be the legal or equitable or logical rationale where we would say, you know, you don't have an opportunity to enter findings, you must deny? What's the rationale to support that remedy?
I suppose the rationale that I would put forward is that it would be a way of this court to hold counties accountable to their actions and to follow procedures and not feel like they were outside of law.
Wouldn't we be violating the due process rights?
I just want to clarify, because as far as I know, Mr. Josephson has never argued, and you have not argued on his behalf, that the proposed route doesn't satisfy the zoning requirements. So the route satisfies the requirements, correct?
Correct, Your Honor.
Siegel?
No, never mind.
I would rest, Your Honors.
Thank you. We'll turn it over to Respondent Counsel.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, counsel, Jason Kubuschek on behalf of Lyon County. What we're really dealing with here is Mr. Josephson's argument that there's nothing in the record, no stated reasons in the record for the approval of this conditional use permit. We've highlighted in our brief or memorandum the process through which the Planning Commission went through. Not only do we have the actual transcript, we've got the meeting minutes, and we also have the checklist. We had two county board commissioners that attended that Planning Commission meeting.
Just to be clear, was the checklist a matter of vote? Was there a vote to or a finding expressly adopting that checklist?
The checklist is noted that it was acted upon, but there's no note that the checklist was actually voted upon. So there was no vote to say, this is the checklist. Instead, they went through each of the items on the checklist. And as they did, they checked it off on the piece of paper.
When you say they checked it off, who is they?
I think the planning and zoning director checked it off as the planning commission went through. So they looked at the criteria for the conditional use permit. They stated the criteria on the record. They discussed it. And then there's a sheet checking that off. So kind of a staff noting that we've hit each of these criteria.
So there's staff checking it off, but there's no indication that there was an official adoption of the staff's checking.
You're right. We have the checklist in the record. There's nothing to show that.
But didn't the conditional use permit motion say adopt findings of fact as part of motion?
It does, Your Honor.
What does that refer to?
That would refers back to what was discussed during the meeting. Those are the findings of fact they went through. That's how they viewed the findings of fact. There wasn't anything in writing, but they viewed the discussion points on the specific CUP criteria.
Now, ordinarily, of course, Mr. Kubitschek, we do have findings in these cases. Can you explain, at least for our benefit, what happened?
Well, I would agree with Your Honor, especially, you know, when you're dealing with a denial, you have written findings. I mean, case law and statute both require written findings so you can articulate why you denied it. With respect to approvals, if it's approved, it's implied that they met the ordinance criteria. Here, we don't have any written findings of the approval. We just have the vote for the approval. We have the discussion from the board when they're discussing the motion to approve the CUP that the planning commission met all the, went through the ordinance and met the criteria. So well, that's what asking, we have in this record.
I was sort of sniffing or reading between the lines when I saw a vote on the findings of fact that perhaps there was something floating around out there that just never made it into the record.
There is not, Your Honor, that when they refer to the vote on the findings of fact, they refer back to the discussion during the planning commission meeting where they
Did
go.
Did anyone say in a minute that those discussions were findings?
Say that again, Your Honor.
Is there anywhere in the record we could look to see that it was understood that what you're arguing now, which is that what constitutes the findings of fact was the discussion that went on during the meeting. Is there anything expressed?
I think if you look at the Planning Commission meeting minutes, Administrative Record 185 to 186, there is reference to six items, and those relate back with the six criteria for CUPs in the ordinance, and also match up with what's contained on one of the checklists or the checklist utilized by staff at AR-179. So those refer back to the ordinance criteria and some of the facts supporting that those criteria have been met. But that's the most we have is with respect to findings, in addition to the actual discussion after the findings discussed during the Planning Commission meeting. I think it was interesting is that, you know, what we don't have here, I mean, we really just have, you didn't make adequate findings. What we don't have is that they don't meet the criteria. That argument was never raised, as Judge Werke noted, that Mr. Josephson at no time during the Planning Commission meeting or the board or county board meeting argued that they don't meet the criteria. And then again, we also don't have anything in the record that where they say that the evidence doesn't support the grant of the CUP. It's really just, you know, you didn't make proper findings there or it should be denied, which is not the appropriate standard, or even remand it back to be denied, because again, there's nothing in the record that would support a denial. It almost seems that plaintiffs are saying, we'll remand it back and then, you know, put the findings out there supporting why you approved it, which the county believes is already contained in the record. So we don't feel that's necessary.
If we were to disagree with you on whether the findings are adequately stated in the record, what is the remedy that you would recommend?
If you were to state that the findings aren't in the record or not adequately in the record, then the appropriate remedy, I would have to say, is under the Earth Burners line of cases, that it would be remanded back so the county board can more fully articulate in the record what they base their decision upon. It's not a reversal of the county board decision, but rather further articulation of why they made the decision. And that would allow the court then, if there's a challenge to that, to be able to look at those findings and see if they're supported by the evidence in the record. But again, we don't feel that's necessary. We think that's already in the record.
Yeah, that was a hypothetical.
I understand, Your Honor. And then lastly, there was some conflict of interest claims raised in Mr. Joseph's brief. We would set forth that none of that is contained in the record. There isn't any of those arguments. This is kind of after the fact. And even if the court were to entertain that, there's no evidence to support any conflict of interest, which would invalidate.
Because there is a right to, you know, quasi-judicial, impartial fact finders in these things. So are you saying that the relator would have to initiate an independent action in district court, for example, to get that into a record, or have submitted before the record closed? These questions, these issues that he raises about potential conflict or voting for the wrong reasons by a couple
sure,
of the commissioners?
Sure, I think it could be either. First, if they were aware of it while this proceeding's going on, or became aware of it in between the time it was at the Planning Commission or County Board, it could be raised, it could be part of this record, and then it could weigh in on the decision of whether or not the county board's approval of the CUP was arbitrary and capricious. Similarly, I think that they could bring an independent action in district court almost on a due process type theory, similar to the Continental Properties case with the city of Minneapolis. There they had emails back and forth showing that there may have been a conflict of interest that affected the system, and they were allowed to bring an action in district court. We don't have that; none of that evidence is in the record here, so certainly they couldn't do it as part of this proceeding, and I don't think they'd be successful if they brought it at the district court either. So for those reasons and set forth in our brief, we'd ask the court to affirm the county board's approval of the CUP and dismiss Mr. Josephson's appeal. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Krabuschek. And we'll go back to Relator if you have a rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honor. If it pleases the court, I do want to note that the county has presented significant difficulty trying to show the findings of fact, even at the Planning and Zoning Commission level, which further validates the idea that there is no finding of facts and there was none introduced in this matter. And that makes it very difficult for a realtor or anyone else affected to challenge this conditional use permit grant when the county has failed to present the evidence as to why they're granting this conditional use permit. For that reason, I ask that the court deny the permit and remand the action back to the county. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you to both parties for appearing on our Zoom platform. The matter is deemed submitted, which means that a decision will be issued within the 90-day statutory timeframe. And that does end our